In our service, the word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank Thee this morning for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the privilege that we have in knowing that as a child of Thine, God has passed on into Your presence, that she's with You. What a comfort it is, knowing absent from the body is present with You. And Father, we thank Thee we can honor her memories. We can bring comfort and strength, minister to the hearts of those that are not saved, those of the family that perhaps are not saved and perhaps need to walk with You in a greater way. Just pray, Father, that You might minister to hearts here this morning. Thank Thee that Your word tells us that life is as a vapor that appears for a while and then is vanished. We thank Thee for that eternal life that we enter in through the Lord Jesus Christ. Reminded that through sin death reigns, but through the Lord Jesus Christ and His work on the cross, life reigns for all eternity to those who put their faith and trust in Him. We give You thanks for the assurance and the comfort that we see in Your word. Help us to be drawn out to You as our hearts and minds are focused on You. And God's desire would be that You might receive the honor and the glory and to be exalted this morning, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you. Celebrate the life of Dorothy Stifler. I met her 28 years ago, and there's a verse that I'd like to share that she gave us when Nancy and I were first beginning. It's Colossians 3:15. And before we look at that verse, I'd like to touch upon three areas, if it's okay with you. I'd like to talk about my favorite things she made. I'd like to talk about my favorite things she did. And I'd also like to talk about my favorite things about her, Dorothy. First of all, my favorite thing she made. You know, I know I'm in a room of northerners, so I have to be careful what I have to say about northern cooking. And I like all kinds of cooking, but being a Georgia boy, sometimes transplant to Buffalo, I still prefer southern cooking. Given the choice between a roll and a slice of cornbread, I'll take cornbread every time. Or a hot buttermilk biscuit. But I think of the top 10 things that I really enjoy eating, I would say the things that Mom made, at least five of those were my favorite of my top 10. I remember the days in her home where it was an amazing place to be when she was making chocolate chip cookies, because her chocolate chip cookies were the best. They had more chocolate chips than dough, and there were those walnuts in there, and I can still remember and smell the aroma of the house. It was so tantalizing when she was making those chocolate chip cookies. And I could still see her pulling the cookie sheet out of the oven, taking it over to the counter and scraping them off on that wire cooling rack thing. And she would scrape them off. And over the years, I've probably eaten a couple thousand of those cookies. But over the years, I became a cookie expert because I knew when they tasted the best. You didn't want to pick them up or snatch them off the tray when they were still out of the oven because they were blistering. They would hurt you. So if you waited 4 or 5 minutes, they'd kind of cool off, and then you'd snatch them off the tray and have a few, and they'd melt right in your mouth. Those were the best. Then I think about the first time the Southern boy ever had pancakes with real maple syrup. It was in Mom's kitchen. Now, we have pancakes in the South, and we have real maple syrup. But in our house growing up, my mom probably bought log cabin. It was a little cheaper. But one thing I learned from Dot was that there were some things you had to spend money on, and she was right about the maple syrup. And I've done maple syrup ever since. And then I think of the bread. The first time I ever had my homemade bread was in Mom's kitchen. Hot out of the oven. It was always fun to go over and spice it off and put some butter on it and melt the butter, and that was the best. And then after playing outside and with the kids, and maybe the Roswells were over, we were sledding outside some winter day, we'd come in out of the cold, and it was always nice to go over, and you could smell as soon as you opened the door, that piping hot pot of chili. And she made the best chili. You know, it's the diced potatoes in there, the cubed potatoes. If you ate a bowl of that chili, you weren't hungry for a while. But my favorite thing, this is number one on Quinn's top 10, was her lemon meringue pie. It was wonderful. And somewhere along the line, about 20 years ago, she found out that lemon meringue pie was my favorite pie. And she started making them on a regular basis. Now, I really liked her attitude about the way she made these pies, because she said that if I'm going to go through all the fuss of making one pie, why not make two? And sometimes I thought, well, why not three then? But I never really expressed that. But one thing I didn't sometimes hurt my feelings about the lemon meringue pies, I had to share them. And I remember one time she made two and only got one slice. But also, Eric, that was his favorite pie. So over the years, she made pies for him. So I got my share of pie, so you don't have to feel sorry for me. In fact, when you think about her kitchen, I think her favorite son-in-law said it best, Dave Roswell, when he said that her kitchen was the soul of her house. She had a way of making you feel at home, and that was Mom. So those were the favorite things she made, the favorite things she did. You know, I came to Buffalo for the first time in 1977. It seems just like yesterday. Came from flying back from Europe. And there, of course, I met my future pretty bride. And I came back before Nancy. And instead of flying straight to Georgia, I decided, well, I need to meet this family. Can't put it off. So from New York, I flew to Buffalo. And I really didn't know what was in store for me, that I would find at Thanksgiving that year a big, crazy family that loved Jesus. And I'd never seen that before. But I remember from New York, I called Mom and Dad, Paul and Dot, and I had to have them give me a description of who they, what they looked like, and because I'd never seen a photo, I don't believe, and I had to tell them what I looked like. So I flew into Buffalo, and I remember stepping out in the terminal, and of course I immediately knew who they were, because I looked at Dorothy and saw the striking resemblance between her and Nancy, and I knew who they were. And as soon as I said, "Hi, y'all," they knew who I was. But thinking about that day 28 years ago, it's interesting to think about that. When I first met her parents, they were younger than Nancy and I are now. But my favorite thing about what she did, she always was loving and very supportive. I remember driving home that night, or they were taking me out to Hamburg on 219, and I was in the back seat of the car, and we were talking, Dad was driving, and I leaned forward and put my hand on Mom's shoulder, and I said, "You know, I'm glad you look like Nancy, because I can see how pretty she'll be when she's older." And Mom, you know, kind of said, "Well, that's very nice of you to say that." And then there was that awkward silence. I didn't know at the time that something was coming, because Dad was driving, thinking about something, and he went, "Ooh," you know how he used to do. And then he said, "Phew, boy, that man's trying to make points tonight." And so from that day forward, everything was good. Because I knew them both just from that. And it was about the same. Her sweet, loving spirit and Dad, his kidding ways all through the years. And I'll always remember those. But also the other thing I liked about, my favorite thing about Mom in terms of what she did is she found out that I liked Jimmy Carter, and when he left the prison, of course, Jimmy started writing books. And every year that he wrote a book, and he wrote a lot of them, and I could always count on Mom to send me one of his books, either at Christmas or maybe birthday. And looking back, those were really some of my favorite gifts, to read those books. And then the other thing that she did, you know, Mom was an avid football fan. And of course, she got that from the Wolfley boys probably growing up. And she would watch college football, and it was fun to go in and watch a game with her, but I could only stay with her for one game. She watched two or three, especially during bowl season. But also, she was a big Bills fan, and I became a big Bills fan, both my sons, too. And She was kind of a weird fan, actually, because she was so emotionally attached to the Bills that she couldn't watch them. You know, she just couldn't bear to watch them, and she was probably better off. But over the years, when we were in Georgia, she would take clippings from the newspaper and send to us, so that send to me. It was always fun to get those packages and those letters so that I could keep up on what the Bills were doing. My favorite thing about her as a person, you know, Mom was so unassuming. It's kind of interesting. She never really drew attention to herself. She served in this church up with the children. But that was on one hand. But then on the other hand, she drove those sports cars, those Trans Ams and those Camaros and those T-tops. And it was always fun to think about her need for speed. But, you know, even with the need for speed, she was afraid of flying. We never could get her to fly to Georgia. And I can still see her driving those cars. It's fun. Just think about her. They'll never be another Dot Stifler. And also, I learned a lot about her in terms of spirituality. I learned from her about marriage, that commitment. Learned from her about family, the specialness of family. Then I learned a lot from her about walking with Christ. Walking with Christ doesn't have to be, can be quiet, can be reflective, doesn't have to be loud and flashy. In this verse, Colossians 3:15, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." This verse, for me, when she shared this to us, kind of represented Mom in a very important way, because for Nancy and I, she was always supportive and loving and encouraging, and in the very beginning she shared this verse when we needed it, and it became a part of our wedding announcement. But I think this verse says so much about, it meant a lot then, and it's meant a lot of days ever since the last 28 years, because when I think about it, it draws me closer to Him. It talks about the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. And Paul also talks about in Colossians 1:20 that we're reconciled to God. We're reconciled to Him. Yet we have peace through His blood shed on the cross. And I'm wearing this red tie today to help me remember about the shed blood of Christ. But He shed His blood at Calvary, and Scripture, God's Word, plainly says that in order to have the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts, we have to have peace with God first. And He did it all at Calvary. He reconciled us there. In Isaiah 32:17, it says, "The fruit of righteousness is peace." And I think what that really means is that the fruit of having peace with God is the peace of God. So the Prince of Peace must rule in our hearts. I think of an illustration by Uncle Dave where he talks about or shows illustratively or in a picture that Christ must be on the throne. That's true. And because the Prince of Peace ruled in Dorothy's heart, and because Christ was on the throne, we know that her life didn't end this week. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him will not die, will not perish, but will have eternal life." We know that. You know, over the years, living in Georgia, Nancy and I and the boys, we've made, over the last 28 years, a lot of trips to Buffalo. We can do that blindfolded now. And at least twice a year, and of course they came to visit us from time to time. But I remember when we would come to visit, then we were on our way, it was always my policy that wasn't completely supported by the family, that we had to be on the road by 6 o'clock in the morning, otherwise we were running late to make that 848-mile trip back to Georgia, about 16 hours. I wanted to sleep in our bed that night. But I can still remember us pulling out of the long driveway
down in Hamburg, and Mom waving, Dad too. But you know, it's a kind of an interesting thing. Mom wasn't waving goodbye. She never would say goodbye. You know that about her? That was too final to her. I never really asked her why she wouldn't say that, but she would always say, "Well, we'll see you in the spring. We'll see you in the summer, or we'll see you at Christmas." And I think as we celebrate the life of Dorothy Lee Stifler today, I think she would prefer us not to think of this as a goodbye, but more as we should be thinking, Dorothy, Mom, Aunt Dot, Grandma Dot, we'll see you soon in heaven. I think that's the way she would want it. Let's pray. Father, you're altogether lovely and worthy and wonderful to us. We praise you as the Lord of life. Father, we know that as wonderful as this life can be, that we love our friends, we love our family, we enjoy your creation. We know that even the most pretty day in Buffalo pales in comparison to what it's going to be like to be in your presence. Because, Father, we know that nothing in this world, nothing in this life truly satisfies, even for those who are redeemed by your blood. Father, we have a longing and a yearning to be in your presence. Your Spirit whispers to us to come home. And most days we don't hear that because we're busy, we're in our routines, but on days like today, we pause and we can hear you. And Father, we thank you for Dorothy, that she's no longer yearning, no longer longing, but now she's enjoying being in your presence for now and eternity. And all God's children said, Amen.
Good morning again. I'm glad that Chris gave those excellent words. I really enjoyed that, to hear from him about all those things that you don't hear sometimes as more of an outsider. So we thank you for those excellent words. I'm going to take and read one verse from Genesis, and it's found in chapter 5, and it's this verse here in verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Now, what does that verse mean to you? Well, maybe it's not too much of a verse. Perhaps you've never considered it before, but it relates to all of us in a sense, because at one point, including in thought, we have all been born. There's a birth date that we start with, and of course she had her own day that she started with as well too. But as far as the verse goes, there's many verses in the Bible, and that just happens to be one of them. And perhaps maybe the verses don't mean anything to you, I don't know, each and every one of you, or perhaps there's different verses that mean different things. Chris was talking about things that were favorites that he could remember, and perhaps there was a favorite verse that Aunt Dot had. I'm not sure whether she had a favorite verse. Sometimes many of us have a verse that we like, and they become favorites, but there's more than one. But one verse that, again, I'd like to share that perhaps is your favorite, it's probably the best-known verse, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a verse that's well known, but perhaps that's not your favorite verse. Perhaps you don't even understand all that's in that verse. Maybe one day, and perhaps today, will be the day that might become your favorite verse and be something that you'd like to share with others. I don't know what Mrs. Palmer's favorite verse is either, but she might have a favorite verse as well, or she might just have other verses that she really likes. And so we can have no verse that means anything specifically to us. We can have favorite verses that mean something specifically to us. And then there's moment verses that can mean something to us. Turn in your Bibles, if you have a Bible and would like to look at it, it's Philippians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, you can just listen along. We saw just a brief display of the different things that she did at the funeral parlor there with the different things there, and they were really beautiful. And so it's just amazing what she was able to do that you don't even know about sometimes. But over there as well was this card that if you had the opportunity to pick up, represented in the thing that she made with the verse below of Philippians 4:6. And so Philippians 4:6 reads as follows: "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Why we have this one is because within it that she was learning a new verse. It's interesting to find out the verse in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 that was given to Chris and the family earlier about peace years ago. And again, this ties in with that thought of peace in the next verse. We'll get to that in just a second. But a moment verse. A moment might be a verse that for the very first time you read it, and it might mean something special to you because of the particular situation. Or it might be an old verse, let's say like John 3:16, which has been known for years, but all of a sudden, at one moment, it means something extra special to you. And so there's some times that I've had those opportunities to have moment verses that have been the right verse at the right time for a particular situation. It's been a tremendous blessing. And such was the case with Aunt Dot, I feel, as the families there shared some things with me about it, that she was learning more about being anxious for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. They related that she was laying flat on her back, that all she had left was God. That's a tremendous thing to have. Some people don't have God. They have nothing. They have no hope then whatsoever. And so she was going through this verse and the following verse, and it was becoming the moment verse for her for that particular time to mean something extra special. The moment verse, and she, I think, would like to have that passed on to you, and that's why they gave the card with that verse, to pass this gift on to you of this verse, just as Chris and Nancy received Colossians 3:15. They would also like to pass this on to you as well. Before I go a little bit more on the verse, there was two things that I'd like to just mention. The song that you heard the group sing over here, perhaps you've never heard that song before. It's an old song, and for those that have come down in the meeting for years, she did play that once as a special many, many times on the organ over here, especially more on the organ than on the piano. But it also has the idea of something that she was learning towards the end. The last verse goes, "God's grace sustains me every hour. I'm overshadowed by His mighty love, love eternal, changeless, pure. Overshadowed by His mighty love, rest is mine, serene, secure." Talking about the peace that she was now learning again for herself at the end of her own life and what she had to go through at that very end. So that's one thing that I remember constantly, that she did play that, and I enjoyed listening to that particular song. It was kind of interesting that I was listening to a cassette tape that had some different music on a couple of weeks ago, and it was an older tape by like somewhere around 1995, and all of a sudden here comes the song Overshadowed. I haven't heard that since she last played it, I don't think. And so it was a blessing to me as I was thinking about her that, again, hearing the song Overshadowed being played once again in that fashion. Also, for passing on, Chris said that she wanted to take and help others, and she did that with the Sunday school by taking on the nursery so that the mothers could take and then learn and have at least one meeting where they could be free and learn during the Sunday school time without the babysitting. And so she did those kind of things as well too, in just little small ways, but she enjoyed doing that for the sake of the mothers so that they could learn and gain in the increase of the spiritual side. And so we go back to this verse again. The next verse says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And so I appreciate about the peace. Here's the peace once again. And as she was learning about that, the verse says it will keep your hearts and minds. So it talks about emotionally and intellectually. And the new thing for me this time as I was looking through the verses, it doesn't say anything about physically. But I understand that Sunday she was able to have a time of peace physically to give her some rest before she finally went home to be with the Lord. So God doesn't promise us peace physically all the time. Sometimes we have to go through a lot of trials. But he does promise us peace through our hearts emotionally and through our minds intellectually. And why can he do that? Because the source of peace is God himself. In verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So because of the source of peace that we have, we can have peace and rest assured that it's not just going to be for a short time. It's going to be a long lasting peace. And I would offer that to you if you haven't come to the fact of knowing Christ as your personal Savior. You really can't have peace until you actually believe on him. And then after that, we can have peace that lasts forever and ever.
And one of the ways we can have peace is if it's well with your soul. We're going to turn to number 417. 417 and sing all four verses of 417. Dan, could you get some books? Oh, I guess we have books. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. family here, that if anyone comes here today that doesn't know that it's well with their soul, they can come to the Lord Jesus Christ today and accept Him as Savior. As we remember the great things we've been thinking about of Dorothy and her love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for our memories of our sister Dorothy. We're thankful, Father, for the confidence that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that His sacrifice on the cross paid our sins, and we who have accepted Him are reconciled with Him, and she's standing in His presence today and in Your presence. And we're grateful, Father, for the confidence that we have in Your Word, confidence that we have because of Your faithfulness and because of Your Word. So we pray, Father, for the family this day. Pray for comfort. So we've been looking at passages last night of God of all comfort. Thou art the God of all comfort. We're thankful we can come to You for comfort, for consolation, for love, and for that overshadowing of that mighty love. Overshadow. We're thankful for that beautiful hymn that was one of Dottie's favorites that we loved so much, as she shared it with us. And it's a blessing to us even today. And we pray for the family now, and we pray for, as we go up to the graveside, we pray that You would give us a time of reflection on the great memories we have of Dorothy before we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Stryper family wishes also to recognize today the passing going home call of our sister Betty Ferguson, who is going to be laid to rest 2 o'clock. We're having a memorial service down in Salamanca for her, and I ask that you keep the Ferguson family in your prayers as well today. And in fact, if any of you who are going to the program down in Salamanca after the cemetery visit up here, if you might wish to come back for the luncheon, they've asked me to tell you to feel free to cut to the front of the line, okay, so you can get down safely to Salamanca. We're going to be going to the cemetery. They're asking for the families, the friends to leave first, and then the family will proceed, and then Dorothy will be brought out to go to the cemetery, okay? So if we could have the friends first to pass out from the middle there, and then the families, and then the remainder of the family will go to the cars.